morning. Thank you for allowing me to stand in your pulpit again. I was going to say fill the pulpit, but I don't fill this one. This is a lot of pulpit here, and glad for the opportunity, and we appreciate that. My wife and I were away into Michigan. Enjoyed the trip. Appreciated being away. Saw the new ministry of our son and family, and looks like he's got a lot of work to do. We all do for the Lord, you know. We look at it, there's plenty to do with regard to the Lord. Now, when we were visiting up there, there was the area we're in has a very, very, very large lake, Gunn, G-U-N-N, Gunn Lake. And one of the men in the church took us on a tour on one of his boats. He runs a marina and around it, and my, what a big place, and enjoyed that. And I was trying to kind of figure out how many, because the place where our son is, Shelbyville, very, very little place, and but Gunn Lake next door, there's multitudes there that, you know, goes from a very few hundred during the winter months to multitudes of thousands in this season of the year. So I was thinking, now this is probably a good ministry to reach out, and trust they'll figure out some ways to do that. We enjoyed being away so well. One of our kids and family, we thought, well, we'll do it next week. So this coming week we're going to be away, starting Thursday. And so we'll be away next Sunday. And we'll be away the third Sunday and the fourth Sunday. We won't see you till September. This sounds crazy, September, doesn't it, already? Well, that's coming. And we, again, just appreciate being here, praying for you and the Lord's leading, and that pastor and family the Lord has for you. Lord designs men to fit a work and a ministry, and maybe he's got somebody he's needing to design a little more before he gets him here. So you be patient and keep praying and waiting upon the Lord. But you're at the right place this morning. Glad you've come. Always right for when the church gathers for us to gather with it and to worship and adore the things of Christ. So if you'd have your Bible handy there, we're going to finish up our studies that have been brief, really, in 2 Corinthians 13. We haven't really done an expository job. We're just looking at a topic, having our eyes focused in on a topic that is down through the chapters of this book that was written. And, of course, that was that we are to be living, walking, having our lives by faith, walking by faith, and not by sight. Of course, the thought of that in the Scriptures is that as we enter into that, into glory, so many of our songs, as rightly they should, look ahead to glory, things of eternity. And so that of the book of the chapter with regard to that in 5:8 here of 2 Corinthians is that of, you know, having our eyes upon Christ, our faith upon him, living there and our confidence in it. But we do realize we are here now, don't we? All too realistic, we're on earth. And things on earth are not getting any better. And if you think they're going to, got news for you. It's a sinful old world cursed by God because of man and his sin. And so herein he has put us as a testimony of who he is, his mercy and grace. And as we live and walk here, we set forth and remember him who loved us and gave himself for us. And we're just rejoicing in him today. This chapter, as it ends this letter, deals with the very topic in many ways we're thinking of with regard to
the Lord's table.
And I was thinking a little bit about giving you an exam this morning, a test. But I know no one likes tests. We don't like the word an exam. It just wouldn't fit, would it? But that's what this chapter is about. He says you have to examine yourself when you get down there to verse 5. If we were to examine what we've studied for several months with regard to 2 Corinthians and all the different topics about walking by faith, we talked about the comfort of faith way back there sometime in chapter 1. Along the way, we talked about the triumph of faith and the glory of faith and responsibility of faith and suffering of faith, and I've talked about some of the other topics down through the chapters. But this morning hour, the examination of faith, that is how faith examines our hearts and lives and uses us for the namesake of the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We love that statement. And we know it is such, it is true. But if we really did some examining of our lives, our hearts, and perhaps our ministries as well, we might pause a bit and say, maybe I'm walking a whole lot more by sight than I'm willing to admit. And maybe it's certainly not as much by faith as it should be, could be. So this concluding chapter is an examination of the church there at Corinth, so passed down through the centuries here to us, the very Word of God. So an examination time of us. It's by way of introduction, we just mentioned that individual Christian lives can stand up under the scrutiny of examination because of the Spirit of God who's in us and the Word of God that we have with regard to that examination. To be a Christian, we realize, does not mean that we escape the normal problems of life. May even seem that we have a few more. For Paul and for us, the problems and perplexities of daily life are not eliminated because of the gloriousness of salvation and the destructive power of sin that's been cared for. However, Paul had discovered, and I think we have, or we are, or we will discover, since knowing by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that for each one of life's testings, there is that of out of which God brings a triumph. For Paul, life was not all glory, nor was it all gloom. And the same is true for us. There's a lot of gloom. There's a lot of glory. God supplied a perfect timing of his sufficient grace for Paul, and he does for us day by day. So when you look down through the chapter, and I give us a quick outline of the first four verses, the first four verses that remind us there are some wrongs to be righted. Paul deals with that with the church. There's an examination to be performed beginning down in verse 5. Then we'll wrap it up. As we observe the Lord's table, there's affection for one another in the body to be expressed. So let's just think about wrongs to be righted in those first four verses. And so the Spirit of God has Paul to write in verse 1, 13:1. This will be the third time I'm coming to you. And as he comes, he wants him to know where he's headed with regard to his ministries. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I have told you before, and foretell as if I were present the second time, just like when I was there before, I told you things is just like the same. And now being absent, I write to those who have sinned before and to all the rest, that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. In spite of the fact that the Corinthian church had been greatly blessed by God with numerous spiritual gifts, these great, wonderful ways of service for the Lord, but the church seemed to be lacking in the area of being gracious. We remember all the things when you think back through the chapter briefly and examine our minds to think about what's here in it. We know the church was torn with internal divisions. We know there was a toleration in the church of known sin. And we know there was great critics in regard to Paul and his ministry, his authority. So in contemplating, thinking about I'm coming again, his next visit to them, he's desirous that these things be cleared up. And so as he's dealt with them down through the chapters, here he brings them together in the concluding part of the letter here. And the first thing we see is there was to be no room. This is in verse 1. There's no room for hearsay or gossip. Things to be established, not just what one person has said, but the witness of information, individuals, several. You know, it's little use to speak of Christian victory and Christ being my Lord if the tongue is not in control and doesn't kind of say amen to that. That's what he's dealing with here, control. Think about what you're saying, what you're agreeing with. We know Jesus should be Lord not only in our theology, but I'm not sure it's a word, but in our tongueology as well. And so in his third visit, he would deal not only with those who had sinned, but also, it appears to me, those that had kind of overlooked the sin or smiled kind of intolerance with regard to the sin. And so he's speaking, especially at the end of chapter 12 and verse 21, he's going to deal with that. Apparently there was still open sin in the church. Needed a cleansing by God through Jesus Christ. Kind of a self-satisfaction is the prelude in a life and in a church to spiritual decay. You and I well know that a malignancy not cared for becomes fatal. Not only in the physical body, but in the spiritual, in the church. So the sooner things are confessed and righted, the easier they are to care for and the less damage is done. And so the Lord puts before us his table, a time of examination of those who are followers of him, so that the smoldering smoke of unconfessed sin, which always leads to spiritual defeat and all its consequences, can be dealt with. So before we partake of the Lord's table, each one of us needs this time, a quiet time, of thinking through our lives and coming before the Lord with matters that are out of line from his word. Confession time.
wrongs to be righted. The church at Corinth had to correct some wrong things in the church. And there are things in lives that need to be corrected before God.
Well, that gets us rapidly through that first little point, and the second one as well, as the chapter moves along, is that of an examination to be performed. He says in verse 5, examine yourselves. And he brings out three items here, three points, three areas. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. And then he says the second part of that, test yourselves or prove yourselves in verse 5. And then after that, he says, do you not know yourselves? It's a good question, you know. How well we know ourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you. Unless you are reprobate or disqualified or failed in the test, basically, is what it is, and we'll think through that a little bit here this morning hour. You know, from a distance, others had been examining and questioning the things of the life of Paul. They'd been very critical of him, questioning his motives, questioning, was he really an apostle? Was he really the man of God that was so much talked about? So now he takes that questioning and he reverses it in order to suggest that they had best engage in some self-examination. They've been examining him. Now he says, you'd best examine yourselves, and so should we. Now, it's not some, just to think on it a moment here, it's not some morbid introspection. We are not to be examining ourselves so continually that we're only looking at ourselves and not having our minds upon Christ. We know 1 John 1:9 is so precious. And we ought to, in our Christian lives, be able to use it less and less, but it's always there because it is needed in our lives. Too much of our minds only upon an examination of ourselves can bring us to look too much at ourselves and think too much of ourselves, not on Christ. Remember the glorious things that speak of Christ and what he has done for you as a believer as you come to the table this morning hour and you think down through the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ and where we are, where we are in seen by him in position before him, as Romans 5:1, therefore having been what? We've been what? Justified by faith. Because of that, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That reminds us of chapter 8 and also at a verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, and more down through there as well. You and I, we need to remember at this table of remembrance, as we walk by faith in a crooked and perverse world, by faith in the Son of God who loved us and loves us, a living and a giving and a humbling and a serving faith, not based on me, not based on you, based on Christ, who bought us and owns us. Having said all that, there is an examination in light of the Word of God to us that's valuable in verse 5. And these three aspects of it we briefly mentioned, and again, we'll just talk about a little bit here. There is, right in verse 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Here's the purpose of self-examination very plainly put before us. Again, we don't like exams. Examine, test yourself. We're very good at testing others, you know, looking at them. Test yourself as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Here's the test of testimony. I believe we can call it that. The test of the testimony of the indwelling Spirit of God. Again, it's Romans chapter 8, and I should have kept you there, but Romans chapter 8 and down at verse 14, we come across these words that minister to our hearts and speak to our spirits. 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, of whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Indeed, if we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. The Holy Spirit dwelling in us, convicting us of sin. When was the last time we were convicted of sin? Or do we, like many of the Corinthians, just let it slide by or kind of smile at it or do nothing with it in our lives? It's just there. It's examination time. Convicting power of the Spirit of God, of sin that's in our lives. The indwelling Spirit of God who blesses us. We're a blessed people. The Spirit of God who convicts us that folks around us are lost and in need of Christ. So glad I was able as a child, now as I look back at it, and attended this little community country church, and to find out years later how many folks therein were praying for me and concerned as I was a lost little boy. People around are lost. Spirit of God convicts us that they are lost and need Christ. And we would do that which needs to be done to present Christ to them. Then our great desire too, you know, I think under this examination time here by the Spirit of God in our hearts and lives is to know more of Jesus, more of him. You can walk with Jesus for a great multitude of years and there's still more things to know. More steps to take with him. So here's the test of the testimony of the Word of God. The witness of the Word. How do we do with that exam? How does the Word work in our hearts? And does it convict and convince? Does the Word of God do that which wants us and puts before us that we must come to Christ? We might fellowship with him. The second thing in this verse 5, as we look at it a little bit, and we're under examination this morning hour, I'm not here saying I'm the one examining you. I'm not. The Word of God is, and it's examining me as well. So after the examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith, he says, test yourselves. Here's what I might call a demonstration. Here's the course, the way of self-examination. Prove, show to your own selves. Prove to your own selves. This is more than just, I've got a doctrinal statement of all the things that I believe, and I signed it. I put my name on it. Maybe you did to become a part of the church, and should indeed be a case. We believe what the church believes and become a part of it. But it's not that. It's more than that. This is serious stuff for us. kind of a testing, a proving of our relation to salvation is a serious examination time with regard to our hearts. It's not just a speaking out about it or just saying I can talk about it, but it's the Spirit of God convicting our hearts by way of the Word of God that we are a child of God. And it's overcoming. He says, prove yourselves. There has to be something that proves it. And this is not a proving to others, though that might be the outward case, but this is more of a proving to ourselves. Prove yourselves. Prove to yourself. Test yourself. Overcoming the world, for those who are genuine believers, it's not kind of an option. It's mandatory. When you look back here in this book of 2 Corinthians to chapter 5 and verse 17, remember this very well-known verse, 5:17, 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. Old things have passed away. I often chuckle at the verse. I keep saying, well, how come I'm getting older all the time if old things have passed away? Old things have passed away. Behold, all things, they have become new. It reminds us it's a battle. There's no desire, there should not be, to live as we did before Christ redeemed us. We know it's a matter of growth in the Lord, and sanctification, and our life developing in the things of Christ based upon the Word of God, and things being put aside that have had such a lock in our lives. Test yourself. We recall 1 Corinthians 6:19, that the Scripture drives home to us with regard to our bodies and belonging to Christ. We sometimes forget, you know, it's not only a saved soul, saved spirit, but we have to remind ourselves, you know, that it's a saved body. This body, the use of it, it's Christ. When he saved me, it was from the top of my head, and I still have some hair there, and to the bottom of the soles of my feet that still work and still get me around, and not the way I might wish that they could, but don't we know that your body, you know, test yourselves, examine your body is the temple, the Holy Spirit. Where is he? Who is in you, whom we have from God. Yeah. It's test time. Test time. So the apostle in the Scriptures is not seeking the Scriptures prove to those Corinthians, nor to us, as that of questioning our faith. But he's having it so as to prove to us we do belong to Christ. We are his. And his last little examination there, the third part of the verse of 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, he asks kind of a question, you know, don't you know yourself? That Jesus Christ is in you. Don't you know that? Since he's in you and is yours, you belong to him, you know, the way our lives ought to be. He says that's the case unless you are reprobate or disqualified or you failed the test. Someone's not standing the test. There's a counterfeit. There are counterfeit believers, and today is the day to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ genuinely. If we stand the test, the exam, and there is in our hearts and minds throughout the Word and our confidence in our soul by the Spirit of God, that we belong to Him. So to fail that test, that is, it's to be disobedient to the Word of God and His discipline, I believe. We are to do what's right. It means to be reprobate, not to have God's approval. Lives are out of line with the things of God. And that was the case with regard to the Corinthian church. And so as he tells them to examine themselves, we pull out of that to have our hearts and minds examined here as well. So when the test of testimony have been proven, the test of testimony proven that you belong to Christ, walking in the things of Christ, living in the things, desiring the things of Christ, motivated by the things of Christ, then don't doubt it, but live godly in Christ. I'll just take your attention to one of many verses, but 1 John chapter 5, if you would please, and a reminder here at the Lord's table of what is said to us here. 1 John 5 at verse 10. 1 John 5, verse 10. As we and my wife were able to be at some of the different Sunday school classes back of, I don't know if it was weeks or months, but anyway, lessons were going on out of 1 John. Very well done. And just a reminder here that we don't continue to walk by sight, but we walk by faith, the things of God. So 1 John 5:10. We have this witness of God in us. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Living godly, moment by moment, is a moment by moment evidence that we are the children of God. We don't need to have others to prove it to us. The Word of God proves it to us. Our reliance is upon what the Word of God says and where our lives are set. Well, let's us kind of pull it together and finish it up and go to our own exam times as we partake of the Lord's table. Yeah, here's what we've looked at. We said there are wrongs to be righted in our lives, in our fellowship with others. There are examinations to be performed. We're not afraid to have the Word of God examine our hearts. And now we pull it together by there are affections to be expressed. Affections to be expressed. And while we've dealt with the topic we wish to this morning, we know there are many other wonderful things in the chapter. He says, finally, verse 11, finally, brethren, farewell, I'm finishing my letter. Develop or become complete, that is mature, built up in Christ. Be of good comfort. Part of this idea, be wholesome in the things of Christ. Be of one mind. Here speaks of unity. Live in peace. It means have a quiet confidence in the Lord as a one belonging to Him. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Didn't see a whole lot of that this morning. Good handshakes. All the saints greet you. Great idea when you come to church to greet everyone. I like that at the beginning of the service. And other times throughout the morning hour, you might greet an individual three or four times. It won't hurt you a bit. And then it's the way it ought to be. The church needs to show that it's together and it knows who's the part of the work and it knows what's going on in lives of people and that you let them know you're praying for them, thinking about them. And he gives this list, as I might call it here, this kind of a four-part harmony. He brings it out here because it was lacking in the church at Corinth. It wasn't there. And it's what needs to be a list, if you please, of the makeup of each church, each local church. Sad, many churches, folks don't greet one another, don't know one another. Had a gentleman in our home this week and said something about, it was one of the large churches, and Lord bless the large churches. You know, being large doesn't mean you're not biblical. But the man says, we thought, about how many people go there? He's about 5,000. So you think, well, how many people's hands can you shake among that? You know, you can get to a few. You probably get to know just a few around you. My wife and I go to a church of it's about 500, and we have yet to meet everybody there. I know it. I see folks all the time I think are visitors, but they've been there 20 years, you know. And you try to remember their names. And I finally came to the conclusion, if you know the name Bob, you probably know about half the people there, at least men-wise. But, you know, you think, I'm going to remember that. You try to identify the name with something, some situation, something particular, and then we're not there for a couple of weeks, and so on it goes. Anyway, we do our best to greet folks, and you do well at it. But it is sad if you don't take the time to greet folks. Got to work hard at being at church early so you can spend some time greeting folks. And they'll encourage you. You need encouragement. You need to be built up. And here the scripture in this examination time is giving us this part of the whole ministry together is for the folks to be together and greet one another and enjoy the time of the service together. And so encouragement in that for us this morning hour. Well, verse 14 wraps it up. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Great verse dealing really with the Trinity. But the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can't measure it beyond measure. The love of God, there's no way to comprehend it, but it's there. And the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, His constant presence, that's what we have. Well, as we go to the Lord's table, we've been reminded to examine ourselves here and just a couple of minutes in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, where again we're told to examine ourselves. We come down through the event of the Lord's table and it being what it's all about and the reason for it in 1 Corinthians 11 and find yourself down at verse 27. What's he say? Let a man examine himself. And then, or so, or afterwards, let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, in a way in which is flippant or in a way which is not recognizing what it's all about. He drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. By the way, the Lord's body there is referring to the church, not discerning how valuable and precious and the makeup of the things of the Lord's body in the church. And so as you're partaking, you're doing it as a unit together and being reminded of the task and the ministry and what the local church is and where it's at and its ministry here. And of course, he says, because some haven't done it properly, there's a price to pay and a reason many are weak and sick among you and many sleep. And if we would be judged, we ought to be judged, as it were, by the church and not by the world outside. Well, examination time. I'm not the examining one of your heart. No pastor ever has been. If he thought he was, he wasn't. And we are individually before Christ, but we are as a church together as well for the working of the ministry and a testimony of him. And when God examines our heart individually, it's a ministry that goes out to the whole church and all that's here. We'll ask our men if they'll come and help in the serving of the Lord's table.